Isaiah was a major prophet in the southern kingdom of Judah, the same time Amos and Hosea were in the northern kingdom. Isaiah means Jehovah saves. And this chapter, one of the most important, famous chapters in the Old Testament. Some people call this the Holy of Holies of the Old Testament. Isaiah 53 is quoted 9 times in the New Testament, in the Gospels and in the letters. And if you want to divide the chapter, verses 1 through 10 deal with the past, verses 11 and 12 deal with the future. You and I take it as a prophecy of Jesus, very much spelled out this way. And apparently, a lot of Jews did too. For the first 1,000 years of the church, many, many Jews were won to Christ by showing them Isaiah chapter 53. The Jews were looking for a conquering king, and they were also looking for a suffering servant. And this is the suffering servant passage in the Old Testament. You remember in the book of Acts, Philip, the deacon, was sent out to the desert. The Ethiopian eunuch was riding home from Jerusalem to Ethiopia in his chariot and reading this very chapter of the Jewish scriptures. And he asked Philip, is this man talking about himself or somebody else? And Philip witnessed to him about Jesus. The Ethiopian eunuch got saved, stopped the chariot, and got baptized. And so many, many Jews were being converted. So around 1,000 years ago, a Jewish rabbi in France, Solomon Rashi, who died in 1105, changed the interpretation of this chapter to keep Jews from being Christians. He said, this is not the Messiah that's supposed to come. This is not a person. This is the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is the suffering servant. And Israel suffers, and all the Jewish people suffer. The wandering Jews all over the world suffer. And so that's what a Jew will tell you today. I recently got a Tanakh, a Jewish Bible. In fact, I'll bring it tonight and let you look at it. And Isaiah 53 has been retranslated, so it's more like the nation of Israel. And that's what a Jew will tell you. This is not anything to do with Jesus. This is not anything to do with the Messiah. This is the nation of Israel. Now, there's a problem with that. First of all, this chapter is about an individual suffering and dying. It's not about a nation. And Israel isn't dead yet. And then, if you read the chapter, the suffering in this chapter is voluntary. It's not being forced on a country. This is the voluntary sacrifice of an individual. And so, Rabbi Rashi, you're wrong. This is about Jesus. So, you realize Isaiah 53, the Jews would not have forged it because they don't want to give Jesus any credit. And Christians could not have forged it because it was written 900 years before Jesus. So we have Isaiah 53. We're going to study this section by section this summer, 53rd chapter of Isaiah. But I want to look at the last 3 verses for our Lord's Supper meditation this morning. Isaiah 53, 10, 11, and 12. You look at verse 10, this is the suffering of Jesus. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Pleased, it was God's plan, it was God's purpose. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. And this is the word asham. This is the trespass offering in the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 2. The trespass offering, it's for sins that are done on purpose or accidental sins. Jesus' death covers all sins. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, the suffering of Jesus. You know, there are 4 kinds of wounds. I see some of you, and I don't know what you do around the house, but you're always skinned up. You always have a Band-Aid on, okay? Me too, okay? Either that or I'm getting bitten by a bee or a hornet, okay? But there are 4 kinds of wounds. There are self-inflicted wounds where people deliberately hurt themselves. There are accidental wounds, and you're familiar with those. some of you more than others. There are deserved wounds. Sometimes you really do something stupid or say something stupid and you get wounded or someone wounds you. Okay? And then the fourth kind of wounds, there are wounds that you take on behalf of somebody else. And these are the wounds that Jesus was wounded with when he died on the cross for our sins. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 1 Peter 3:18, he died the just for the unjust, that we might be right with God. Charles Spurgeon, talking about it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to smite him. Spurgeon said, if God were to lay his finger on any one of us, only his little finger, we would be struck with sickness, paralysis, and death. That's God's little finger. Think of God smiting. God must smite sin wherever he sees it. So when he saw our sin laid on his son, he smote him with the blows of a cruel one, till beneath that smiting his son cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So in verse 10, you have the suffering of Jesus. In verse 11, you have the satisfaction for sin. Read that with me. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. The payment for sin, the debt that was owed, was satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Did he justify all? No, he didn't, because not everybody gets saved. But he justified anybody that wants to be saved. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. For he shall bear their iniquities. Verse 11, satisfaction for sin. The Bible's real plain about sin, Ezekiel 18:20. The soul that sins, it shall die. Romans 14:12. So every one of us shall give an account of our sin. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So Christ was offered for the sins of many. And when Jesus died on the cross, before he died, he said, it is finished. The Greek word tetelestai. Now, ladies would make a shopping list, and they go to the market every day and buy what they needed for the day. And when they got everything on the list, they would write across the list, tetelestai. It is finished. It is paid in full. Got everything I needed. Don't owe anybody anything. Tetelestai. It is finished. Someone said, God formed man, sin deformed man. Christ alone can transform man. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Christ's suffering led to God's satisfaction. So verse 10, we have the suffering of Jesus. Verse 11, we have the satisfaction for sin. And verse 12, we have the success of God's plan. Look at verse 12 with me. This is the exaltation of Jesus. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. What did he do? He bore our sin. What is he doing now? He's praying for all of us at the right hand of God the Father. He is the head of the church. The success of God's plan. Ephesians 1:4 says that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. The covenant of grace used to be a huge topic with Southern Baptist pastors. God in eternity past, before he created the world, within the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit devised a plan for the salvation of you and me. It's called the covenant of grace. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Father sent the Son. The Son dies for us. The Spirit convicts us and draws us. The work of the Trinity in our salvation. We were loved before time. Jesus was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The covenant of grace. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. Now, a parallel passage to the last three verses of Isaiah 53 are the last three verses of Isaiah 52. That's the introduction to Isaiah 53. Look at them with me. Isaiah 52, 13, 14, and 15. It's a parallel passage. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. That's his crucifixion, but what's his result? So shall he sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Jesus suffered, Jesus reigns. That's a song that's never been in our hymnal. It's a beautiful song. It's called And Can It Be. You recognize it because of the chorus. We sang this at the last Easter cantata. Amazing grace, how can it be that thou, my God, hast died for me? And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for, O my God, it found out me. Long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon framed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ, my own. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? The suffering of Jesus, the satisfaction for sin, and the success of God's plan. And that's what we celebrate this morning. We celebrate the picture of his broken body and his shed blood. I read a great story this week. This came from Sunday School Times magazine. In Europe, there was a rabbi planning to come to America. He had a daughter, and she tells this testimony. My father taught me to read the Bible in Hebrew when a young child. We began at Genesis and started reading through the Hebrew Bible. When we came to Isaiah, he skipped chapter 53. I asked him why. He said it was not necessary for Jews to read that chapter of the Jewish Bible. I became more curious. I asked him who it was for. And he said, oh, that chapter's for Christians. I asked him, what was the Christian Bible doing in our Bible? He got mad and wouldn't answer me. Told me to be quiet. He said again, it was not necessary to read chapter 53. And I wondered why God would put unnecessary things in our Bible. So I copied it when he wasn't watching. And I kept it in my pocket, and when he wasn't around, I would read it. We came to America. We were living in New York City. And I still had that copy of Isaiah 53. And she says, she was walking along the street one day and heard a lady reading that same chapter. And she asked her, "What does Isaiah 53 really mean?" And the lady told her that it was Jesus. She said, she explained that it referred to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believed in him, and it satisfied me completely. And that's the answer you get today. Either the Jews will tell you it's the Jewish nation, or you don't need to read that chapter. But you really do. You really do. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. You know, in the whole world, people are trying to reach up to God. You know, they're trying it by living a good life. They're trying it by believing the right things. They're trying it through philosophy. They're trying it through other religions. It's all about them doing something, but they can never make it because they're weighted down by sin. And the sin keeps them weighted down. What does Isaiah 53 say? "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have gone everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Because of that, because of the cross, you and I are free to reach up to God as he reaches down.